Son. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. That's why.
Song. All my sins are forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you here this morning. How many loves Jesus? Just give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Amen. As we start our service and as we begin to take prayer requests in just for just a few minutes, I want us to also include into our prayers this morning the Spear family. Brother Jim and Sister Elaine are there with Brother Jim's dad. And hospice has told them that it's just a matter of time, hours, days, who knows, they're only in the hands of God. But we want to lift that family up this morning in prayer and certainly pray for the comfort. So if you have a request of prayer today, just let it be known by the lifting of your hand. The God that I serve knows each and every need. Stand with us if you can, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Certainly. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come this morning to love you and to thank you, God, for the preciousness of your Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to gather here this morning again, Lord, in spirit and in truth, to worship you in praise and song and word. God, we do remember those who are not able to be with us this morning. We pray a very special prayer. God, to reach out to those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those in the hospitals, God, those who have just lost a loved one. Father, I pray for comfort, God. I pray that you would be with the Spear family this morning, God. Just wrap your loving arms around them. God, gently take care of them and comfort them in their time of sorrow and grief. Father, we pray, God, that you would just give them peace right now. Lord, as only you can. God, just be with us through our service this morning, God, and anoint every word spoken, every song sung. Let it be for your honor, for your glory. And help us, dear Lord, to be in one mind and one accord this morning, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. And God, I pray, Lord, you just send down a special anointing upon this service. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We'll ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. We're going to ask our ushers if they would come forward. Let's go ahead and receive our Sunday morning tithe and offering. We get ready to worship and praise the Lord this morning through song and through His precious word. Amen. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless this offering as it goes forth for His service?
Others would have ran. face the cross, this uncommon man. He walked on the earth, but unlike you and me, he walked on water too, set captives free. With a touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him will find their soul through the sacrifice of his uncommon man. With a touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him with mine, crystal through the sacrifice. Their soul through the sacrifice. Their soul through the sacrifice of this uncommon man.
Messiah,
above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, He's the name above all names,
He's my
blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. He's the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord.
If he's not, then I urge you to make him Lord and Savior of your life. It's good to see you this morning. Amen. Are you proud to see one another? Well, just give the Lord praise. Amen. Been thinking a lot about heaven. Man, that's a good topic to think about, isn't it? Man, you know, Jesus said, I go away and prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. Man, have you prepared your life to be able to go and receive your preparation that Jesus has prepared for your life? So many people, I think, are living on the expectation that heaven is just going to be wide open to everybody. Oh, I wish it was. Wish I could make it wet that way. Wish I could preach you a sermon and say, you know what? God, it may just, heaven's doors are going to be open. It's not what I read in the Bible. You must be born again. You must have the blood of Jesus applied to your sinful life, regardless of how good in nature you may be. Good mom, good dad, good person you may be, you still need Jesus Christ in your life. And you know what? It would make it a lot easier when the preacher or the officiant stood over your casket and knowed with assurance that you're going to go to heaven. Heaven's just sounding a little sweeter. Oh, life. Been so good, I can't complain.
When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. Oh, but I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen, how I listen for His call. And heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know that it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave. Oh, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes. When we meet in that land beyond the skies, oh heaven, it's sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday sounding sweeter all the time. One of these days I'm gonna leave it all behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time.
I'm on my way to heaven. How about you?
Praise God. What a blessing. Bible tells me a place where there'll be no more sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no more death. What a glorious thought that is. We're going to leave all these troubles behind. My. If you're blessed in the Lord this morning, give Him another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. So many prayer requests that we are aware of today, and we need to not only just pray for them the one time as we take congregational prayer, but keep those folks in your prayers. Keep those that are sick, certainly, but those who are giving care and those who are seeking comfort for the loss of a loved one as well. So we remember them in prayer, and we know that the true comfort comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray His Spirit will certainly uplift them. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. John, the 14th chapter. You know, I just spoke of a place that Jesus Christ has gone away and prepared, and that's in the first few verses of that chapter. We're going to focus our attention this morning on verses 15 through 20. As I said, Jesus has done His part. Can you say amen? Greatest story ever told. Amen. There's nothing more could have been done than what Jesus Christ did when He died on the cross of Calvary. But let us understand, He's not still on the cross of Calvary. And He's still not in the tomb that is there, that it was a borrowed tomb. The rock is rolled away, the stone is gone, and Jesus Christ, amen, is arisen alive and well today, and He wants to take up abode in our hearts and in our life. Amen. In St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse number 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Let that just kind of sink in. If ye love me, keep my commandments. These are the words of Jesus. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how precious are your words. God, how faithful are your words. God, and we adore them, and we hold fast to your promises. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to stand today, God, and read from your precious holy word. Father, I pray, God, that it would sink deep into our hearts, God, that to make us certain with an assurance in our spiritual life that we are ready should you come and call. Father, I pray for a spiritual awakening in this world, God, a spiritual enlightenment, God, that your light might shine through this dark and perverse world. Pray, God, not only for comfort, strength and healing, but God, pray for a Holy Ghost revival. God, a convicting of souls, if you would. God, an old-fashioned altar repentance. God, a sincere change of life, as we know only comes from your Spirit. God, I pray for your strength this morning. I pray for you to anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint my heart. God, anoint this vessel that you may speak to us. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more time. Let Jesus know how much you love him. Amen. I hope you never get tired of doing that, because my Bible tells me that's what we're going to be doing for an eternity. Amen. And I look forward to the opportunity to praise in the Lord forever and ever and ever. This morning I want to bring a message entitled Spiritual Blindness. Spiritual Blindness. There is a darkness today covering the spiritual eyes of a countless number of people in this world. I'm quite sure you have noticed it. You can't help but notice it. To say that the world is in bad shape would be a gross understatement. Many people who have been in this world for a number of years makes the statement they've never seen it as bad as it is in today's time. They've never seen things completely topsy-turvy. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. No, let me tell you, that's not true. What's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. I don't care how much the world changes. I don't care how much population changes. The Word of God will never change. But there is a spiritual darkness that's overtaking many parts of the people in the world today, and unfortunately our nation is caught up in it as well. We used to be the shining beacon in the world, amen, that we were a nation based and founded on the principles of God and a faithful nation. I'm not sure that as a whole we could make that statement today. I would hope and pray that we are. And I would hope and pray that the majority of the people in the nation still believe in an almighty God, still believe in a born-again experience, still believe that there's a place called heaven, and by the way, still believe there's a place called hell. There are two places that the Bible refers to. And if you have not made your preparation, if you have not lift your light, your life be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, I urge you to do so immediately, if not sooner. Because that's how severe, that's how penetrating this darkness, this spiritual darkness that I see is. It's not just me. Many ministers, many evangelists, many teachers, many scholars, many theologians would agree that there's things happening in the world today that were prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You're seeing them take place before your very eyes. What is happening? That is the question. What is happening?
Did it happen just since yesterday? No. Has it been happening for a while? Yes. Under the guise of darkness. And darkness is something. You know, it gently leads you into the midnight hour. Isn't it wonderful to sit out on the front porch sometime, or the back porch, or maybe if you don't do that anymore, just gaze through the windows and watch the dusk as the sun begins to go down, and there is a transformation of light to dimness and then to darkness. And then the stars, if it's not cloudy, they'll come out and it begins to lighten up a little bit. But it doesn't just immediately turn the lights off just like a switch. It eases on. We have seen this transpire. We have seen this take. We're seeing it in the process of taking place right now, Brother Dave. We're seeing it. There's a darkness that is on the world. Christians see this. Ministers are aware of this. Churches know this. But I'm not sure a majority of the people realize that it's actually happening. What is the darkness? I'm not talking about not seeing at all. Thank God for the ability to see. Thank God for the illumination. Thank God for the sun that comes up every day. But even in the brightest of light, some people today are spiritually blind. The light has been preached. I came into this world, and some of my earliest remembrance of church was talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and how that we must be transformed, and how that we must receive the Spirit of the Lord to let Him live and abide in our life, to obey His word, to obey His commandments, to live a Christian life. Somewhere along the line, it got dim. Somewhere along the line, it got a little bit darker, and there was this kind of acknowledgement that if we're just to say I'm a Christian, then we can wait till ever when our time comes and we'll just march right into heaven. Boy, it's quiet. I said, boy, it's quiet. Reminds me of the old preacher preaching, amen. I remember a man saying, you know, he sat there in the congregation. He felt that preacher was preaching right to him, and he said that preacher had the longest finger he had ever seen in his life. He said he pointed that finger and it went right to him. Every word he said, that finger went right to him. You know what? It wasn't a finger. It was conviction. Amen. I experienced that myself. Amen. I'm thankful for it. It was uncomfortable, but it was conviction. Amen. You know, it wasn't an easy pill to swallow, but thank God a man of God stood enough or loved me enough to stand in the pulpit, said, you must be born again. You must obey the word of God. It's not an easy road. Amen. It is a difficult road at times, but it is not impossible, because the word says that Jesus, I said, well, he will be with us forever and ever. Amen. But we've been rocked to sleep. We've been kind of led into a place of spiritual complacency. What is happening? Spiritual blindness. Simply said, seeing but not believing. Oh, it's not the first time it happened. Many people witnessed the ministry of Jesus, but they didn't believe he was the Son of God. Brother David, they tried to put a title on him. They called him a prophet. They called him a master, a good teacher, a good person. But to call him the Son of God, many would not recognize that. Although they saw his ministry, they heard his ministry, they were moved by his ministry. But yet there was not a life-changing experience in their life. They witnessed and heard his words. And the words, some said, didn't it burn in our heart? Just the spoken words of Jesus. I thank God for the written words in the Bible that when I read them, they burn in my heart. They burn in my spirit. They purge out the old, amen, and open up a viable conduit for the newness of God. How many knows there is a transformation that takes place when you invite Jesus Christ into your life? He won't just come into any old house. He wants to come into a house that says, Lord, I give it all up for you. Fill me. Not simply take a room in my life. Many would just have it that way, to have Jesus a part of their life, but it doesn't work that way. You must have Him as your life. Seek Him first and His kingdom. Then He'll add these other things. They saw His miracles and His healings. Still, would not believe that He was the Son of God, the Messiah. Some even called Him a devil of Beelzebub because He declared Himself to be the Son of God. Brother Daddy, where are you going with that? They saw that. They saw that with their own eyes. And they wouldn't believe Him. Oh, they loved His miracles. Does that not register today? I don't believe you'll find anybody that doesn't love the miracle-performing ability of Jesus Christ. I've heard people who never profess Christianity at all declare, if it hadn't been for the Lord, who came in and healed my body, my son, my daughter, my dad, whatever the case may be, even though they may not be a Christian, they believed in the miracle-performing ability of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How many believers do we have here today? How many first count witnesses do we have? Has He ever healed you? Has He ever performed a miracle in your life? It's easy to believe that. But yet that same person cannot see that they need Jesus not as only a healer, but as a Savior. Healing is a part of His ministry, but not the main part. The main part of Jesus' ministry was to prepare the world, amen, for the Comforter which was to come, amen, through His Spirit, to infill us, to be with us, to help us, to encourage us, and to save us, and to give us an eternal home with Him. And somehow, a mass of people, believe to a point, but not to the fullest. And that concerns me as a pastor, that concerns me as a minister, that concerns me as a Christian. To see a world that seemingly is unbothered by where their soul is going to spend eternity. I heard one fellow say, you know, I won't be there by myself. What consolation is that? You know, there's a saying, misery loves company. You know, it is not my will, and it is certainly not the will of the Lord, that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, should come to repentance and the opening up of their heart's door. It's more than just saying I'm a Christian. Oh, I could tell y'all all day long, I'm a billionaire. Praise God. And you know, that might go on for a while, but I keep saying, I'm a billionaire. Well, he keeps wearing the same old suit. Driving the same old car. You would think if he was a billionaire, you would begin to see the effects of it. We'll amen that, won't we? Show me. And then we hear people a lot of times, I'm a Christian. How's your soul? Oh, I'm okay. And I am not a judge. God never called me to be a judge. In other words, He called me to be a servant. What minister is, one who attends to the needs of others. But He also let us know that you understand a tree by the fruit that it bears. Just simply to say, I'm a Christian, there's going to be some outward showing. There's going to be some evidence that there's been a transformation in your life. Things of the world are going to be secondary. God's going to be first in every aspect of your life. You're going to be a prayer warrior. Amen. You're going to be a faithful Christian. You're going to be a witness. The light of a Christian is going to shine forth. Turn your flashlight on and put your hand over it. Light still gets through. I don't care how much Satan tries to snuff it out. I don't care how much he tries to quieten the church. If the true light of Jesus Christ is alive and well in the church, in the Christian, in the ministry, it's going to shine forth. And you won't even have to wear a wristband saying WWJD. Because they're going to know there is a light in that person's life. When somebody says, you're not like the rest of the world, you ought to say, thank God and praise the Lord. Instead of, well, I don't know. Don't want to just stand out. You need to stand out. You need to be different. You need to have different conversations. Brother Eddie, you wasn't going to say all that. Get to your notes. Well, maybe the Lord just wants us to know it. There is a difference that takes place when somebody says, I relinquish the world. I give it up. Lord, purge me. Take everything out of my life that is not holy. Fill me. Anoint me. Make me ready for heaven. Glory to God. Take these spiritual blinders off me so that I might see the true light. Yes, it's more than saying I'm a Christian. There should be a life-changing experience. Satan has tried to cover the true light with a veil of darkness. And by the way, evil loves darkness. Evil grows in darkness. Man, let's say, a producing plant grows from the illumination of light, right? I plant out some tomatoes, and the tomatoes that get the full sunlight, well, they're robust and healthy and just got the prettiest little blooms on them, a couple of little tomatoes. Them that's down there in the shady area going. But they're a tomato plant. You ask everyone, yeah, I'm a tomato plant. Why did you get it? Because they're dwelling in the darkness, standing in the shadows. Don't want to stick out. Don't really want to be classified or known as a Christian. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? I don't care what they call me. I don't care if they call me fanatic. You know what fanatic means? It's a fan of something. I'm a fan of Jesus, so I'm a fanatic for Jesus. That's all right. Amen. I don't care what the world thinks about me. I only care where I'm going to spend in eternity. And that true Christian is more concerned about heaven than they are about earth. But Satan tries to cover the true light with a veil of darkness. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah said, arise. Said it twice. Later on. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. I don't care how dark this world looks. Well, I care, but I know that there's an antidote. Amen. For everything there is an opposite. For evil, there's goodness. For darkness, there's light. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Listen to the reading of that. Darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness will cover the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's not a new scripture. It's been there since the Bible was written. I've heard it. I've alluded to it on several occasions, preached about it, preached using that, and never really looked into the actual meaning or definition, if you would, of gross darkness. I just figured it to be real bad darkness. Yeah, we love adjectives, don't we? You know, we put adjectives with the common cold. Have you ever had a good cold? What kind of colds do you have? Bad colds. You ever had a good headache? What kind of headaches do you have? Bad. You ever had one of them terrible headaches or toothaches? We use those, you know, and we use them all the time and to describe, and sometimes we would say, oh man, it was so dark. It was pitch black. Let me tell you something about pitch black. There's darkness and then there's darkness. I remember many, many years ago, we were in the mountains and we toured a cave. And the guide took us down, and some of you have probably done the same thing. And they got us to a point and they made us all stand together. They didn't want nobody screaming and hollering when they turned the lights off. But they turned the lights off, and honestly, that saying, you could not see the hand in front of your face. It was that dark. And I always assumed, that's what they're talking about, gross darkness. There's just little darkness, medium darkness, but then there's gross darkness. But there's, as we say, words in the Bible mean something. They mean something. And quickly, sometimes we read over them. Darkness, some smart person said, is basically the absence of light. Okay? And what did he say up here? He said, darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness, the people. Well, wait a minute, Lord, you mean the darkness on the earth is going to be darker for some people than others? And that's where gross darkness comes into play. Gross darkness is basically refers to a heavy cloud which prevents the light from getting to you. See, the evilness of the adversary has figured out that he cannot stop the light. Turn to your neighbor and say, he can't do it. He can't snuff out the light. He can't stop the light because Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. And the powers of hell have no power against the powers of goodness, which is Jesus Christ. But he's figured a way. If he can cause a thickness, a cloud of doubt, of fear, of unbelief, to prevent the light that is always shining, by the way. Talk about, well, sun's going down. No, it ain't. It's still up there. We're just turning away from it. That's another message for another time. But he's figured out, if he can cause this fog of spiritual unbelief, of the theology or religiousness, if my name's on the church book sometime, I got it made. When the Bible's not really concerned about where your name is on a church book, but it is concerned if it's on the Lamb's Book of Life. Man. And he hadn't given me the ability to take or put names on that book. Only the Lord can. But Satan's figured out, I can't stop the light. The light's too powerful. The light's stronger than all the demons of hell. But if I can cloud it up a little bit, Ooh, glory. It's going to get on some of our toes. If I can cloud up the word a little bit. You see, I don't think these Christians are on the educational level to really understand the original interpretation of the Bible. So we'll just clear it up a little bit. We'll make it a little easier to read. Oh, be careful. Make sure it doesn't take a dot or a tittle away from the true Word of God. Amen. It's withstood the time. It's withstood the ages. Amen. It's still the true Word of God. Somebody, even though an angel of light come trying to preach you or teach you anything other than the apostles preach, let him be a lie. Be careful what you ingest to feed your spirit. And that didn't cost you any extra. But he's figured out if he can make this thick fog cause a little dimness. Dimness is bad on a 70-year-old. Amen. You know, the first thing that I do in the morning, after I get myself up off of the floor, it's about what I feel like. What was that song? Stumble to the kitchen. But you know what? It's still a little dark in there. And I don't always have my glasses with me. But I have, over the years and over the past few months, since I'm so dependent on coffee, I have placed a flashlight right by the coffee pot. And I think that is so very sensitive to me, because that way it doesn't disturb Kevin and it doesn't wake Penny up and they wake up in a better mood. So I'll take that little flashlight, and boy, it gives me just enough light to get the coffee made. It is amazing how much a little light will brighten your day. It's amazing how much a little light will make things, even the darkest of situations, the darkest of nights, the darkest of circumstances, if you just shine a little light on it. Glory to God. I'm not talking about an ever-ready battery. I'm talking about an ever-ready Jesus. Amen? I said he's ever-ready. No matter what you face, no matter what consequence may come your way, no matter what obstacle, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And it'll see through that thickness and that fog, that gross darkness that refers to a heavy cloud. Oh, I saw this and almost shouted, which prevents the light from getting to you. And ask you a question as I prepare to close. Is there something, whatever it is, you may not refer to it as a fog, is it preventing you to get to the light of Jesus? Is it preventing you to live a life, a living, breathing testimony, the goodness and mercy of Jesus Christ and his amazing grace? I'm not saying we're going to walk a perfect life down here. There ain't one of us that's able to do that. That's the reason we need his spirit. But I want to be found trying, don't you? Because I have a helper within me. And that helper picks me up when I stumble. That helper dusts me off when I fall. Thank God he forgives me when I err. That is so wonderful. Amen. But I still want to try. I still want people to know that I'm thankful that I've been born again. The girls from Brother Earhart's church, they wrote a song. It said basically that I choose to be a Christian. And somewhere in those lyrics it says, nobody's making me do it. You see, Jesus is not like that. Oh, he had the power, but he gave us free will. Give us free will. And he also said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But nobody's making us do this. And that's one of the greatest tools that the devil uses. Oh, you don't have to do that. No, nobody's making you do it. But the benefits far outweigh the consequences. We have heard this message for a number of years. That doesn't mean it's not coming true. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That only simply means it's closer than it was yesterday. You can bank on this. Jesus is coming. And you can bank on this. even if his coming is delayed by years and years and years, we still have a destiny meeting with death. And we need to be ready at that point of death. Because when that breath is taken away from us, then that heartbeat is gone. We don't have that opportunity. That's the reason the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is today to make it right. And the doubter says, well, my life has been too bad. Did Jesus never say? No, that's the reason he came. For people like you and me, who wasn't good enough to go to heaven. In fact, really, to be honest, there's not any of us good enough to go to heaven. That's the reason Jesus came. The only goodness about us is that spirit that dwells within us. Even though there is darkness in the world, and I think we all agree that there is, there's still light. And the essence of this message is you believers see that light. Even though we have not actually witnessed Jesus, we see Jesus. I see the effects of the wind and I know Jesus is there. I see the plants grow and I know Jesus is the reason. Amen. I get up on my own 2 feet and I take a deep breath and I know it's for the mercy or by the mercy of God. We know. If you're a true believer, there's no doubt in your mind or in your spirit that there is not a living God. And that living God is coming back for his church that is ready, without spot and without blemish. There is still a light. John 9 and 5, and I'll close with this. Jesus said, I am the light of the church. Are you sure? Yes. I am the light of the world. The entire world. See, I got news for you. There's going to be more than just us in heaven. There's going to be a multitude of believers who have let the light of Jesus shine in their lives. You know, we used to sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, that's a beautiful little song. But it's a little bit kind of misworded. This little light. If it was me and my light, it'd be a little light. But it's the light of Jesus. Amen. How many has ever been driving down the road and seen those beams of light shooting across? Man. And then you see it coming from a big old spotlight. I believe it's more like that. Brother David Green. That's what it looks like right there. Did y'all see that light just blah? Why is that light? Everything good in your life? No. You still have headaches, don't you? You still have bad colds? Amen. But you know what? The light overwhelms those things. When you got the light of Jesus, I said, when Jesus is the most important thing in your life, it doesn't matter what you face. You don't face it alone. My Lord in mercy, I could preach for a week about the light of Jesus. Me and you be here, and I guess Brother Thomas, I'm not going to do that. I certainly hope that I have made my point. I only wish the world would see that. I mean, that's not a pun. That's the truth. It's there. There. But the spiritual blindness impedes their ability to see. See and believe. That Jesus Christ is here to save us, to fill us with His Spirit. Amen. Sister Stephanie, did you come prepared for baptism today? Everybody give her a hand. See, she's already saved, but she said she wanted basically, amen, just to renew that relationship with Jesus Christ. She wants that light to just shine, just a beam out of her life.
And by the way, I don't care about people seeing Eddie. That's not what it's about. But I want them to see the God of Eddie. I want to see them to see the Lord Jesus Christ that has given me that illumination. Amen. I'm going to ask our singers if they would come, our musicians, play something while we prepare for baptism service this morning. We're going to baptize this precious sister in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Giving honor and praise to the Son of God. All right. And by the way, I'll still be in the baptismal tank. So, Brother McCoy, would you be prepared to dismiss us with a word of prayer? Yeah, we'll send somebody. You go ahead and get prepared. We need somebody to go down to children's church. She wants her children to see. So if they've gone to get them, they'll be here by the time we get ready. I said, praise the Lord. Oh, what is this, two or three Sundays? Glory.
Your garments spotless, are they white as for here for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
All right, praise God. Give them a hand again, all right? It's always a blessing to be somebody anointing with water for Jesus Christ. You know, it's a blessing. If you would, let's stand for the closing of the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, just giving you all the praise and glory for so many blessings you have bestowed on us, Lord. It's such a blessing to see this person step forward and to be baptized in your name, Lord. Now we ask you just to continue with blessing her and ask if she follows in your footsteps from this day on, Lord, and bless the rest of her family. Lord, we just want to bless all the ones that's not with us today, Lord. Ask you that you just watch over and protect them. Bless the congregation that's here this morning, Lord. We just thank you for this service to the Lord this morning. Lord, we ask that you take us out of this darkness that we're faced with on a daily basis so we can see the light and live directly for you, Lord. And I ask you to be with us, watch over through us the rest of this day, and hopefully we see everyone back in here tonight. We ask all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.